Davy Crockett told him back east, "You may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas." Here's a guy that thinks Davy got it right. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. I want to say right now to you, I hope you have a blessed 4th of July Independence Day, ladies and gentlemen, on Monday. And keep our nation in your prayers because we need it, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day today, charter schools have been a roaring success in Texas, with most enrollment coming from traditional Democrat constituencies. But it's the public school lobby running that Democratic Party and some rhinos, and they never stop working to remove choice from parents. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers. They are your number one choice for being your third-party administrator with the DOT. AlliedCompliance.com is where you find them, AlliedCompliance.com. We've got a treat for you today, a Texas space industry update with Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. We're not just talking SpaceX, and there's a lot happening down in Boca Chica, but also Axiom. And remember, that's another Texas company. Sales tax report in, oil and gas rig count, and much more. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. It is, as always, a great day to be a Texan, my friends. Lubbock has its giant 4th on Broadway coming up, and there was a piece at KCBD today visiting the old mayor that was mayor back in the day and who's a big Democrat, David Langston. And a lot of this stuff is okay, but it really misses the point. The headline says, 4th on Broadway started as a celebration of downtown Lubbock. That's just bull. He did get this right. Said the first festival's near the day of President H.W. Bush's national celebration. There was a festival hosted in Washington, D.C. and right here in the Hub City. Langston said they didn't expect a lot. They thought a few thousand people would show up, and 50,000 showed up at the evening concert. It was they weren't prepared. Nobody thought. It was a great thing. Kudos to all of them. But what they missed in this entire Patricia Perry piece at KCBD was the reason everybody showed up. It was not particularly great weather. It was hot. I mean, it was hot and sunny, but it was hot. And it wasn't organized in the way they are now. The reason people showed up, Democrat Langston, and by the way, David says we need patriotism and all that's good, but it's funny to write a whole story about what became the largest free festival in Texas, you know, for 4th of July in Lubbock, still going on strong. And nobody mentions, he says, oh, there was a George H.W. Bush deal. Folks, we just finished the Gulf War with shock and awe beyond anybody's belief when the Iraqis invaded Kuwait. This was officially a welcome home to the troops. That's why people turned out in the tens of thousands, because they were patriotic, American-loving people saying thank you to their troops. And it just bothered the heck out of me that that wasn't talked about as the main reason that that 4th on Broadway kicked off so popularly. Well, it's really a shame to not see that in the story. Texas sales tax revenue, comptroller tells us that the amount was $3.68 billion in June. That's 16.4% more in June of 2021, meaning it outpaced inflation. Strong growth in receipts from all major economic sectors, says Glenn Hager. He said the strongest growth was in sectors driven primarily by business spending in that oil mining sector, oil and gas, all that. I mean, just massive amounts. Wholesale trade and construction up, manufacturing. Said retail trade was strong, but receipts from furniture and home furnishing stores and sporting goods and hobby stores declined. So we keep seeing all this mix in the retail sector out there. But $3.68 billion, 16.5% or so more than June of last year. Attorney General Paxton challenging this something I mentioned about a week or so ago on the program, this Biden's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration fuel and efficiency and electric vehicle requirement, the CAFE standards, basically to force us out of cars that are the only thing that can get us where we need to go and do the work we need. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, I get it. Most people now live in cities and they just drive around in cities, in big cities, Where I live, it's impossible to do any of the work in these electric vehicles unless you're just driving a local in-city fleet vehicle. And so, Biden, we're going after the feds on that. Attorney General Paxton filed an emergency motion with the Texas Supreme Court this week because that Houston judge, you know, that Democrats, oh, no, you can keep doing abortions. The laws on the books don't count. The old laws on the books don't count. And the Paxton said the legislature's never repealed the state's longstanding criminal laws that prohibit abortion. And again, comma, unless necessary to save the life of the mother. Whereas the Quorum Report's owner, Harvey Kronberg, told everybody that it effectively bans abortion in all cases. What, you know, and he just, they lie. They lie everywhere. So anyway, Attorney General said the trial court was wrong and he's asked the Supreme step in. They might not since all this goes away. I really think they should. Because it goes beyond this issue, and that is, you know, what makes a dead letter law? And as I discussed at length, go back and listen to the podcast this week is if you missed it, because it's important you understand what a dead letter law is and how they're misusing that. You can't say it's a dead letter law when everybody has been focused on it for the last 40 years, 50 years almost, and been fighting over it. That's not a dead letter law. That's a law very much alive that's in suspension due to court action. Court has ordered the Texas Public Utility Commission, which is completely appointed by the governor and has been not just with that ERCOT thing, has been acting in a bad manner for several years. Court's ordered them to pay the Texas Universal Service Fund's $200 million debt and ensure solvency. Brad Johnson of the Texan says Public Utility Commission was ordered yesterday to pay off the $200 million it owes to rural telecommunications providers. See, we all pay into that universal service fund on our phone bills, but the PUC's been holding the money, stiffing these people. Texas Telephone Association, TTA, announced the state was short $200 million in its universal service fund and projected the shortfall would grow to $300 million by January. Again, we pay into that so that there can be 911 accessible telephone service universally in the state. Texas Senate Business and Commerce Committee discussed this situation earlier this month where the executive director of the PUC told them that the fund deficit grew was growing 10 to 11 million every month. And meanwhile, the PUC's been doing nothing. And PUC opted, instead of paying them, it created a distribution prioritization system for which it entered into a contract with a data management firm. Following that, Governor Abbott vetoed a bill last year that ordered the PUC to expand its intake. Due to the shortfall, rural telecom providers alerted their customers to substantial rate increases. One company even said they're going to suspend all rural service in their area by August because there's no way they can pay for it without that. The TTA filed suit against the state in January of 2021. Litigation's now reaching a point of resolution unless they all go to the Supreme Court and have intervention, which I doubt. Sickly, the PUC claims sovereign immunity in this case. This has just become an immoral practice by government where it's not due, and the court dismissed that claim and allowed the merits of the case continue. They actually said that while the PUC has discretion to decide how to fund the Universal Service Fund, it lacks the discretion to underfund the USF and fail to make payments owed. It was a pretty good appeals court decision. They even slapped the state harder by saying that the actions of not paying these rural telecom providers constituted a regulatory taking, meaning you've deprived them their property and you may owe them even more. So I was glad to see that because it's been another nasty, incompetent bunch of stuff from both the older before the big freeze and newer all Governor Abbott appointed PUC. Texas Democratic Chairman Alberto Hinojosa says this next term will be his last. So he's a bigot and a mean-spirited person. I just know nothing good about the guy. All right, we've got a lot upcoming. We're going to talk space industry in Texas with Bob Zimmerman in the next segment. Stand by.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
For decades throughout West Texas, Tommy Klein Construction has been a leader in commercial construction. That experience is your assurance that Tommy Klein Construction can do your job right the first time and understands all the government codes with which you must comply. Tommy Klein Construction satisfies state HUB and federal woman-owned business requirements too. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them at 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially. Even worse, with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovers of Texas and of liberty, it's time for the show that celebrates the spirit of Alamo. Here's your Texan in chief. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We're very glad to have with us historian, famed science writer and author, especially a space expert, Bob Zimmerman. His website is behindtheblack.com. As you know, I tell you all the time, that's a site you need to visit regularly. It's time for a little bit of space industry update. There's been a lot happening with Texas. It's not just SpaceX in Texas. Of course, you know that Blue Origin launches its rocket out in West Texas by Van Horn. There are lots of other companies, too. One of these is Axiom. You may not have heard of. Bob, welcome back to Pratt on Texas. At BehindTheBlack.com, you had an update this week on Axiom, and I knew what Fry's was. They don't have them where I live, but these big electronics stores, they've leased a Fry's retail building. This is all in Texas. Tell everybody what's going on.
Good evening, Robert. Thank you for having me on. Axiom is a company that was founded by some former NASA managers to build a commercial private space station. And to do it in an interesting way, they're going to add modules to ISS. And then over time, when enough modules are added, they will be able to detach from ISS and operate independently as their own private commercial space station. And this company has already also flown its first private commercial flight using a Dragon capsule to ISS, where its passengers stayed on ISS for 17 days. So that's Axiom. And
that's recent, right? That was that big private, completely private flight from they paid SpaceX to get them there, but the crew was not a NASA crew, and they actually were the, that was cool to watch. And so that's Axiom Space. And so they're working on this stuff, and they're down in the Houston area. I guess this thing that's happening you're going to tell us about is in Webster, which is just a suburb. You know, it's right there in Harris County in Houston, over, I think, towards the Clear Lake side.
Even more backstory, they are in the process of building a really large facility in a place called Houston Spaceport. And this is not a spaceport where they launch, but it's a place where
I think it's an old Air Force base or something, part of Ellington Field or something. I can't remember. But they're a big corporate citizen there.
They get grants from Houston and from Texas for doing this. So they're building that big facility, and that's where they're going to build their modules and their space station. However, it's not ready yet. And they need a place for their engineers to work and to do design work and to do some preliminary construction. And so what do? They looked around the Houston area, and they found this formerly large Fry's electronics store building that was now empty. Fry's used to sell electronics like Best Buy. It was mostly in the West Coast. I think I didn't see many of these in the East, but it was big.
I think they had a big one in Dallas on 635 near the airport, which may still be there unless Fry's completely went out.
They're out of business.
Are they completely gone? I remember going to Fry's. So, it's a really big building, like a super Walmart type building, really large.
And the buildings were set up like you're inside a giant warehouse, so the ceilings were always very high, and it was very large open space, and there was lots of electronics, many aisles, and you could buy almost anything you could imagine, kind of like a Radio Shack, but super scaled.
Right.
They were out of business. This building was sitting empty, and what made the building interesting is that Fry's and the company that owned the building decided to do something clever with it. They designed the building to kind of look like a space station on the outside. But on the inside of the Fry's facility, once again, high ceilings, very, very large, they installed on the ceiling a full-scale mock-up of the International Space Station. And in fact, it's the only full-scale mock-up that exists. Johnson Space Flight Center doesn't have one. What they have is they have mock-ups of this individual module, sometimes linked together, but nothing as a full-scale. And so here it is on the top of the above your head when you would shop for Fry's Electronics. Well, Fry's is gone, the building's empty, so Axiom finds this building and decides to lease it. It's going to lease it for the next few years where the engineers are going to work, and they're going to be working with the full-size mock-up of ISS over their heads as they work. I think that's really clever. It'll provide inspiration for the engineers, and from a commercial point of view, it gives Axiom a little bit of publicity because guys like me have to talk about it. It's kind of cool.
Well, I think it's also, it shows an entrepreneurial way of doing things because a government program or something like that, well, we couldn't go in some old retail store. We've got to build a $1 billion building to, by the way, no wonder I didn't know Fry's was completely gone. They didn't go out of business till 2021 last year and said it was COVID. They're another victim of the COVID. I went and looked at their press release on that, and they were in the Dallas and Houston markets. So that started Fry's supermarkets chain in California back in the 60s and 70s, and Charles Fry sold that, and then they ended up going into the electronics business, and they were, certainly California company. But that's cool. I like this Axiom Space. We haven't spoken much about them to the audience, and they're really playing a big role there in Texas, and they're doing things, actually doing things. Now, SpaceX just, until about half a year ago, I'd watched every SpaceX launch. I can't do it anymore, Bob. There's so many of them. isn't that a fabulous testimony,
problem,
though, to what's happened with commercial space? But they're doing big stuff we are watching, and that's the Super Heavy, the Starship down at Boca Chica, and, the FAA, the Biden administration's drug their feet and all this. But nevertheless, there's some work going on there right now, this week.
Yes, SpaceX has used the chopstick power of its orbital launch platform for Starship Super Heavy. It has actually used that chopstick crane to place its seventh prototype of its Super Heavy booster on the orbital platform for static fire testing. It's got 33 Raptor engines.
Wow.
Sometime in the next week or two, we don't have an exact date, they're going to do a static fire test of that. That'll be the first time they will fire 33 Raptor engines at one time.
Yep.
It won't be a long blast. They'll do a dress rehearsal countdown, and they'll fire them up and let them go for maybe 2 or 3 seconds and stop. But they're going to do that. And meanwhile, the Starship, the 24th prototype of Starship, is being put together inside the High Bay Assembly Building there. They're installing the 6 Raptor engines that it will use. And once the way I think they're going to do this is they'll do a static fire test of Super Heavy. They will then stack the Starship on top of it, and they'll do another static fire test.
So massive.
The launch.
And for those of you who don't know, I mean, the Falcon 9, which is, I guess, now the world's most successful rocket, that re-lands, I mean, it lands back, it's 9. It has 9 of their engines. They're not as powerful as Raptor engines. So get an idea of scale. These new Raptor engines, this cutting-edge technology, 33 of them in the bottom of this Heavy that they'll be launching. And the chopsticks, it's because they're like two sticks. This is another one of Elon Musk's great things. If y'all haven't watched it, it's like, I don't really, we landed on a pad, now we're landing these things in the middle of a circle, the smaller things all the time, the Falcon 9s. And then we got to move it and all that. Why don't we just land it right there on the tower? And everybody's like, how do you do it? Well, we just got these two things that look like two chopsticks that stick out there, and it gets there and it grabs it. I mean, if all this works, I mean, it's just a testament to freedom and capitalism and the freedom to engineer and dream and do new things. And I love it. And they're not spending my money to do it either. That's what I really like about it. So when do we think they're going to get to these tests?
They have said that they want to launch by end of July. Now, I don't know if they can do that, but it's pretty clear that they've got Super Heavy on the launch pad, so they're going to try to do the static flight tests in the next week or two, probably no more than 2 weeks.
I sent you some stories.
I
sent you some stories this week too, out of there, kind of talking the same line that's when some of the locals expect it, late July or next 60 days, hopefully. So.
Oh, I think the goal here is to beat SLS to launch. SLS is now aiming for late August. I think they want to do it sooner.
Yeah, the big NASA boondoggle. Bob Zimmerman, BehindTheBlack.com. Thanks a lot, my friend.
My pleasure.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Brett believes, school or not, the only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Now, here's a good guy with a gun. Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. There was a big piece in the Hearst Papers, Houston Chronicle, Edward McKinley, Texas conservatives flex muscle to help anti-woke charter school, a sign of things to come. And basically what it is letting everybody know that there have been a few rhinos on the State Board of Education who have stood in the way of charter schools, including a very good one for Houston based on the Hillsdale College matter, which is the Barney Charter School Initiative out of Hillsdale. And three times they've been denied, and two of those people were primaried, and the other one got redistricted out of his seat. One of those was a guy in our State Board of Education District 15, actually, in which most of you live. The big piece is it's not the most horrible story about education choice, but it certainly is set up to be, these Republicans are going, they're using political influence. Well, the entire system is politically influenced. It is set up by the legislature, even the part that goes through the SBOE. And you're right. When you come back from the next SBOE, these charter schools ought to get approved. And that's good, because they even point out here that in the last 10 years, it's really dropped. They say that, I don't want to go into the details of these Hillsdale 1776 curriculum, but it's the kind of thing that, of course, irritates the hell out of liberals who hate our country and want to indoctrinate our kids. And so you can read that. It's in the Chronicle. The Heritage Classic Academy voted down back in 2020. It's been over and over. Back then, it was because they had Brer Rabbit in their early grade curriculum, which is one of the great American. It's a fantastic book. Well, you can't do that and be woke, you know. This is, well, it's been nasty. And it went on, it's gone on and on and on. They point out that these classical education, you know, true education skills like heritage, there's a big appetite for this amongst parents. There are some already in some charter schools in the state. They list those. They said combined enrollment for those is about 7,500, and that in 2016-17, it's more than double to 18,000, according to state data. In other words, people want this, but, of course, the education establishment doesn't want people to have it. Later in the story, they put out charter school proponents point out the charter school wait list in the state of more than 58,000 kids. Now, folks, if you know the demographics, you know that tons of these, the majority are in Democrat constituencies. And yet the Democrats fight tooth and nail to not let these people there. For example, it says here, over the last decade, the State Board of Education's generally been a choke point to charter school expansion. It's because the unions got their grip, you know, their teeth into these members. The board's given final veto power over charter applicants after they're approved by the TEA commissioner. Since 2017, TEA approved 35 schools, but the SBOE only allowed 23 to proceed. See, families want more options. The public schools aren't working for everyone. They point to data that show the large majority of charter schools are children of color and that their test scores are better than the public school averages. It's exactly true. And that brings, it's a big piece about what's going on. That brings me to Christian Townsend's piece at Texas Public Policy Foundation. The Supreme Court provided, and remember, on this ruling about funding out of Maine, I think it was, I covered that with you, told you how important it was. This is a follow-up to that. Supreme Court provided a massive win for religious freedom on Tuesday, and that's, was that Tuesday or this week, last week, I think, ruling that Maine cannot discriminate against religious schools when it provides money to parents for children to attend private schools. That's because Maine, folks, if you don't understand, they don't even operate schools in a lot of places, secondary schools. They just let you pick another school district or a private school and send the money with the kid, which is, by the way, how it ought to work everywhere for all schools. So this is just the latest win for empowering parents and not the state to decide the type of education their children will receive. And that really is the question. Who ought to be in charge of what their kids get? The parents or government bureaucrats? But many on the left believe the court got the case wrong. And a central theme of their argument is echoed by Sotomayor. She wrote the court's decision meant that states are now, quote, required to fund religious exercise, end quote. By the way, that's a lie based on that case. I read that case. That isn't what the Supreme Court did, and it isn't how school choice works. That's because school choice programs at their core fund parents, Sotomayor, not schools. Let's start with an analogy. This Christian writes, my grandfather's a 94-year-old who received Social Security benefits. His religious convictions tell him he should tithe 10% of his income to his local church, so he gives the church 10% of the money he gets from Social Security. Government cannot come in and tell my grandfather he can't give his money to his church. Not only does the government not know whether the money he gives comes from his personal assets or from Social Security check, but more importantly, it's given my grandfather a choice on what he spends his money on. It can't restrict that choice because it doesn't like religion, and that was what that case is about. It was that the state of Maine's decision was an actual affirmative discrimination against the free exercise of religion. It's the same principle behind parent empowerment, writes Christian Townsend. First, the Supreme Court was clear that states are not forced to provide funding for religion. As Justice Roberts wrote, the dissents are wrong to say that under our decision today, Maine must fund religious education. Maine chose to allow some parents to direct state tuition payments to private schools, and that decision was not forced upon it. Yeah, he went on explaining that Maine could simply change how it does all this stuff. They're not being forced to fund religious private schools. Court's case law sets up very simple rules for states. They're not required to provide options for parents regarding where they can send their kids to school, but once they give parents money to send their kids to alternative schools, they can't pick and choose which schools can get the money based on whether a school has a religious affiliation or not. But more importantly, this view that the state must now fund religious schools misconstrues school choice. School choice programs give parents funds to pay for schools. By empowering parents, it gives them the ability to choose the best schools for their kids. It's not the state funding that school, rather, it's the state funding the students. And this distinction is critical because the state doesn't have to make sure that every religion is represented by a private school. By letting parents decide which schools to provide best experience for the kids, the state won't be involved with defining the ways the schools educate their students. Problem is, right now, states are funding particular ideas and ideologies through our public school system. By enacting school choice programs and empowering parents to pick which schools their kids attend, states around the country can provide better and more tailored educational experiences to the next generation of leaders, and parents, not the state, will fund the best schools. And here's the point on school choice in Texas, whether it's simply charter schools, which they keep saying in all these stories, have far fewer restrictions and accountability. That's a lie. Started out with it. They have pretty much all, they take the same test and have pretty much the, in fact, in a way, charter schools in Texas now have more accountability than public schools because it is a massive political uplift for the TEA to throw out a school board and take over and run a school and then let, you know, reconstitute it. They never put it out of business. Charter schools, meanwhile, just get their charter not renewed, and they have been put out of business. So that's a good thing, but they actually have more accountability practically than public, than the other traditional public school districts. They are public schools, and they pretty much operate most things the same way. That's sadly, there's been more of that put upon them over the years. Everybody's so afraid, well, it'll destroy our public schools. Well, then, so what you're saying is that the people in your community, I hear this a lot from the rhino rural legislators, well, they would just destroy our communities. Really? So you're saying that the people let's just take Hamlin, Pied Pipers, Jones County. You're saying that the people of Hamlin feel so disserved by their public school that a massive, significant number of those people would no longer send their kids to the public school. That's what you're admitting. You're saying that your public schools, that parents must be through law held hostage to the public school model, because if they were not, it'll destroy your public school. How would it destroy your public school? Unless they voted with their feet to take their kids out of it. Well, we're a little town. There wouldn't be any. We'd lose jobs, Robert. I've always heard that. It's an economic. Excuse me. If somebody started it up in the Sunday school building of the local Church of Christ and started another school, they would hire teachers too. Just goes to a different place. You people don't realize how much you're embracing Marxist socialism in this school stuff. Back in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com.
It gets blistering hot and shivering cold on the high ground of Texas. We know how important is reliable heating and air conditioning, and so does the family at Hart Heating and AC. It's dry and dusty, too, and Hart Heating and AC are experts at improving your comfort with whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. Hart, H-A-R-T, heatingandac.com.
Licensed DACLA 1229 OE.
When it comes to great eating, for many of us, it starts with the meats. And you'll find a big selection of the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb, as well as rubs, sauces, and more at Raider Red Meats on the Texas Tech campus in Lubbock. You can keep up with Raider Red Meats' frequent sales and specials through their Facebook page. Link to it from RaiderRedMeats.com. Help fund scholarships to the world's best meat sciences program by joining us in beefing up at Raider Red Meats. I did have fun going to the dentist in Costa Rica a few years ago. On the serious side, my best quote at home for only a few things was more than double what our entire trip cost, including airfare, hotels, dining, everything. I had the emergency items done and ended up having a mouthful of old fillings redone too. Then Isabel did the same. All of it cost us less than half of local quotes for just the crowns I needed. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Here's a man who thinks it's wrong not to fly your Texas flag as high as the stars and stripes. It's the Lone Star's Voice of Liberty, Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. At the Texas GOP convention, they had a straw poll. And if you take Trump out of the list, Ron DeSantis is just like I've been, the favorite. 71% of the party's activists Ted Cruz, 9. Rand Paul, 3. Nikki Haley, 3. Pompeo, 2. Gnome, Chris Governor Gnome, 2. Mike Pence, 2. Governor Abbott, 1%. And Marco Rubio, 1%. Now, the poll with Trump gave him 54%, but DeSantis still had a huge plurality, bigger than our homegrown guys, at 30%. Pretty telling. Pretty telling, folks. Today in Texas history, in 1850, the 1st of July, in Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, that's when they had the angry soldiers were mad and burned down the store of John Hunter. All the county records were destroyed in that fire, and Hunter refused, and the reason they burned it down, because he refused to sell whiskey to a soldier the night before, so they had a mob. They burned down the stores, the great records burn war, whatever, there in Gillespie County. In 1879, Texas League manager John Jacob Jackats was born. He led the Fort Worth Cats to 7 consecutive championships between 1919 and 1925. He is considered one of the greatest baseball managers of all time. In 1898, the Rough Riders became the first U.S. troops to land in Cuba. They were largely recruited, you know, in the Menger Hotel Bar in San Antonio next to the Alamo by Teddy Roosevelt. Used to go there, have a whiskey and smoke a cigar like Teddy Roosevelt in honor of that, and then they passed their smoking ban. I haven't spent more than $10 in San Antonio since. 1959, the state of Texas granted a bus franchise to the Acres Homes Transit Company near Houston. It was the first in the South to be owned and operated by black Americans, my friends. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. There was a story in the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, the mudslide today, on the renovations of the Texas Tech Club. I just wanted to point out, and they did in the story, that our podcast sponsor, Tommy Klein Construction, is doing the work up there. It's going to be really nice. All right, my friends. The Baker Hughes Rotary Rig Count is out. We had a big gain last week. This week we dropped to... in Texas, this nation dropped 3 altogether net. Texas is at 360 drilling rigs. We were at 222 a year ago. There are 349 running in the Permian. And remember, part of the Permian is in New Mexico. And this White House is just crazy. White House sparks backlash after saying high gas prices guard, quote, liberal world order. Christian Datok at the Washington Examiner reporting today that National Economic Council Chairman Brian Deese spoke to CNN yesterday, just hours after President Biden told reporters the public should expect prices to remain high for as long as it takes for Ukraine to win the war. Folks, that's just an outright lie. It has very little to do with it. And by the way, I follow the oil markets. One thing they're telling about, well, that's made the price go up. No, it hasn't. Let me tell you what's happening. Russia is one of the world's great producers of oil. And they're skirting. I've had a lot of stories I hadn't had time to bring you to you. We, even though the Europe maybe aren't buying it, actually they are. They gave most everybody. You can't retool a refinery for a different type of oil. Sometimes it takes years to do that. And so they've given almost everybody an exception on being able to import Russian oil. But here's the thing. Russians want it in rubles. And then there's all kinds of worries about its shipping and it being interdicted and held. So what's Russia doing to sell its oil? And they're selling a lot of it because Asia doesn't care. A lot of other people don't care about moral stuff. And you know what they're doing? Guess what? Because it comes with increased risk, they're selling it for a lot less money. The actual fact is that Russian oil on the market's being discounted heavily to get around the cost, the risk factor of ordering a tanker load. And so that actually would drive prices down. Biden administration drilling plan may exclude all waters of the U.S. beyond the Gulf of Mexico. That was out in Reuters this week. And they're telling you it's about Ukraine. Well, of course, you've seen the numbers out of the Atlanta Fed saying they're tracking for recession, says the clues are there that we're almost in it. Chevron, they're going to stay back headquartered in California. They're 100-year-plus. You remember, I've told you, you know, it's politics kill the oil business in California. You know, all through Los Angeles and the sprawling city, there are oil wells everywhere, and a lot of them have big buildings, faux buildings built around them. Go look that up on the internet. California was the great oil producer, and their politics has moved it out. And Chevron says, we're going to stay, keep our headquarters there because we've got 140-year history there. That's right. Standard Oil, and then the Chevron brand was their logo, but was the independent owners of gas stations, and you had Standard stations that were corporate-owned. But here's what's really happening, and they get it right at KHOU. They're paying their California employees to relocate to Houston. They already employ far more in Houston. 8,000 employees in Houston, tripled the size of their operation in California. And they've announced that anybody voluntarily willing to go to Texas will be compensated for doing so. That's the way you continue the move out of California. Oh, and our friend Merrill Matthews had a big piece in this oil stuff policy at his IPI.org, Institute for Policy Innovation. While President Biden and the White House want to point fingers at everyone else for the nation's current energy crisis, Biden's the one who deserves most of the blame. Yeah, progressives have been pushing their anti-fossil fuel agenda for long before he took office, but it takes an enabler in the Oval Office to give that agenda legs, and that's what Biden is. And he talks about he and Stoltenberg's piece in the Wall Street Journal that points out why so many energy companies have been slow to take up Biden's call to ramp up production. That's only part of the story. He said his administration's worked to roadblock various aspects of the system, you know, like the Keystone XL pipeline that would bring 800,000 barrels of oil a day from Alberta, Canada, plus some from Montana and the U.S. to the U.S. refineries down on the coast. How bad's the pipeline situation? Real bad. The EIA released a chart highlighting new crude oil pipeline construction over the past 12 years. You can see in the graph right here that it hit a peak of 35 in 2014. That declined a lot all the way down. I mean, even in 2021, it was pretty high number of pipelines under construction. In 2020, there were 30. It's down to almost nothing now. Two. It's down to two. Two, because of these threats to the capital markets with anything from the White House and the Democratic Party. And that's the whole of the Democratic Party. Threatening companies, telling you you're going to wean off the, we're just going to starve people off of it. Interestingly, U.S. Rep. Troy Nels, a former sheriff in Fort Bend County, who's now a congressman, in a hearing said he wants Elon Musk for shoring up not the power grid just in Texas, but the whole country because they all have the same problem. Well, that's because we put all these wind and solar on it. There's no way to store the energy. And because of this exact same move, we've stifled the production of power plants that use reliable power. And they were all confused at the Chronicle. It's not clear what Nels wants from Musk, but the representative certainly would like the billionaire at the table. What he wants is a guy who's innovative and knows how to do stuff, giving advice. That's how the country used to work. We took leaders of industry and entrepreneurs around the country and we put them in charge of special things and we solved problems. The world of the progressives don't like that because only progressive government bureaucrats are experts in their world. And you want to see how crazy it is? Even in Houston, that's supposed to be the energy capital, the Houston Chronicle's editorial board this week. The editorial, here's their headline. The world is on fire. Supreme Court just took EPA's fire hose. Here's the first part. The earth is aflame. Really? On Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court yanked away the fire hose. In its latest disturbing decision, the high court drastically narrowed the EPA's authority to fight scorching ravages of climate change. These people didn't even read the decision. It has nothing to do with that at all. Nothing stops Congress from passing policy. The EPA was doing things that Congress never authorized it to do, and the ruling and the law of it have absolutely nothing to do with climate change, and the world is not aflame. But these are the editors of a major paper and the one that's the hometown paper of the energy industry. When are you people in Houston industry going to cut that paper off? When are you going to strangle Hearst financially so that they put decent people there in the paper? Please get to it. Happy Independence Day to you. Long live Liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.